This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday. Season and Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
It's the holiday season and Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. Santa's a great big bundle of joy when he's coming down the chimney down.
When he's coming down the chimney down.
He'll have a big fat pack upon his back, and lots of goodies for you and for me. So leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging on the Christmas tree. It's the holiday season.
The holiday season.
So hoop-dee-doo and dickery-dock, don't forget to hang up your sock, 'cause just exactly at 12 o'clock he'll be coming down the chimney down.
Oh yeah. Andy Williams, he's always a part of Christmas. He'll be a part of Christmas forever with his singing. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, and it is indeed Christmas season, December the 1st. A lot going on today. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Wayne Cruz of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk to him about his organization's new report. It shows how federal regulations are undermining both businesses and families in our country. So stay tuned for that report. And did that debate between Governor Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom live up to the hype last night, in your opinion? We are going to discuss it. Stay tuned for that as well. And House Republicans are reportedly meeting behind closed doors right now to talk about whether or not to formally vote on a Biden impeachment probe. If they have a formal vote on it, apparently it allows them to get more info and more data, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, how about this? The top 10 fastest cars in the world. Let's find out if Ed's ever driven any of them. We'll do that at the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored by the best haircutting firm, in my opinion, in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, you want to look as good as you can for Christmas? Get over there. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Great haircut. Great price. Great ambiance. Call first for your appointment. 727-733-3773. And do you have any tree problems? You want to enhance your trees that you've got? You want to make them look better? Do you want to cut down some trees? Do you need stump grinding? Whatever it is, Arbor Life Tree Service is the best in Tampa Bay. Why don't you call them for a free estimate? 727-330-1999. Well, as Big Ed just told me, Sandra Day O'Connor has just been... Apparently, they have just announced that she has passed away. She, of course, was a Supreme Court justice. She was appointed by Ronald Reagan. I don't know if they've listed a cause, but she was 93. I guess when you get to be 93, I guess you just say it's old age. It's always going to be something, right? But she was a conservative, although she was never always a guaranteed conservative. She did cross over, and she had certain opinions that might have, in the minds of many, have been more moderate. But I'm trying to remember, and I don't have the information in front of me as to whether or not she was the first female justice. We'll check on that for you. But that is on the heels, of course, of the death at age 100 of Henry Kissinger. He was the Secretary of State under Richard Nixon. And he died Wednesday at his home at the ripe old age of 100. He was German-born. You know, he was in the military, too. People don't remember that he was. He had his... He had those that loved him and those that did not like him. He served as a diplomat. He was an academic. He was a presidential advisor. He continued to impact American politics into the private sector after leaving office. He helped open up China with Richard Nixon. Many felt that he was a little bit more of a peacenik. He always was looking for detente. His stamp on U.S. foreign policy spanned decades. And for better or worse, he was responsible for a systemically changing the standing of the United States, China, Russia, and others. You know, whenever I would listen to him, that he had a very thick German accent. It was always, for me, it was always hard to try to poke through the accent to listen to him, I must say. He had a real baritone voice, you know. But he was so influential. And, I mean, he was amazing. I mean, he was a walking encyclopedia.
I remember him, you know, mostly in high school. And I remember he was the one that was always hard to understand.
Yeah. I always felt that way, too.
I guess he kind of the same area maybe as Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I think so, to some extent, although for Schwarzenegger, I was able to comprehend him a little bit even better.
He was, you know, Schwarzenegger's give the people the air. I mean, he has that.
He did talk like that a little bit.
But Kissinger was kind of like that, too.
Kissinger was more the United States.
But still had that heavy accent.
It always sounded like he was almost going to pass away, but that's the way he had. That voice of his was rather deep.
But with
deep
that
like
accent,
that.
I didn't know what side he was on, ours or theirs.
He was quite a character. And, you know, he became a little bit of, what's the word? A ladies' man. You know, he was almost thrown into that group of eligible. I guess he was not married for a while. Eligible bachelor types and the like. Mm. Anyway, the tributes kept coming in for him, and he lived over a long, long time. So, two iconic and very important figures. Sandra Day O'Connor and Henry Kissinger passed the scene. Meantime, a little bit of good news. Dow Jones, did you know that it's up at its highest level all year now? And here we are at the end of the year.
See, Gavin Newsom didn't bring that up last night.
No, he didn't. Yeah. Dow Jones jumped 500 points to a new high for the year. It rallied yesterday as apparently more cooling inflation data and strong earnings in certain companies capped the benchmark's best month. In fact, it's the best month since October of last year. It gained 520 points to close at 35,951. So there you go. I guess all is not bad, right? Mm. Seems like everything else is bad. Did you watch any of that debate last night?
I did, 100%.
All right, buddy. So let me ask you the first person I want to know. What did you think? Who won?
I almost turned it off when Gavin Newsom was applying for the TV job there when they went into a break and he said, I'll be answering that right after this break. Stay tuned, everybody. God.
Did he say that?
He did.
Yeah. I don't remember him
and
saying that.
You could tell when he got caught lying. He would do the typical Gavin Newsom thing, would smile, you know, flash his teeth, and basically mug for the camera.
Yeah.
That was it.
So I'm taking, from you, I'm taking the idea that DeSantis might have...
Every statistic that was put up was wrong to him. absolutely wrong. I would have taken a moment to say, hey, here's a tablet, look it up yourself, and then get back with us.
Yeah. I liked the idea that there was no audience.
I did too. I don't. We
they
don't
did talk over each other.
Too much.
Both of them, way too much.
He needs that mic button when he can cut him off.
I thought that I want to give a little bit of a kudos to Gavin Newsom, knowing that Sean Hannity is a conservative.
Sure, absolutely.
And he came in and he walked into the lion's den on that mm-hmm. one. And I, frankly, I thought trying to be as objective as I can. I thought that most of the questions did put Newsom on the defensive, because most of the questions were formulated around the fact that California was not doing as well as Florida.
Hannity got the ball rolling with the questions. It kind of like, you're doing bad because, you know.
Well, in other words, why are you doing so bad and California, why is he doing so good?
Yeah, California sucks because, Florida's great because.
Yeah, I agree. You know. Yeah, that was kind of, and I think he kind of knew that. So I found this little story, 5 of the most memorable moments in the debate. Let me ask you. Well, you know what, Ed? Now that I see what the time is,
yeah,
I think
we got
to take our break. We'll be talking about this a little later in the show. So let's take our break, because I cannot wait to talk with Wayne Cruz. They got a new report on federal regulations. So we'll be right back after this break.
Sky, there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that little light shines all around.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
First day of December on a Friday. We're so glad you're with us, and we're delighted to have back an old buddy of ours, Wayne Cruz, who is at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He specializes in regulatory studies. He's the Fred Smith Fellow in Regulatory Studies. And Wayne, just before we get into the report from your organization on the huge cost of federal regulations, I just thought I'd ask you about the death of Sandra Day O'Connor. It just crossed the wire. We just talked about it for a moment. I don't know much of the detail, but I thought perhaps you'd like to share a thought on the passing of Sandra Day O'Connor.
Oh, I hadn't heard that news at all.
Yeah,
I hadn't had a chance to reflect on that at all. But what a path breaker in terms of. Supreme Court jurisprudence, and being the first female,
right?
It's wow! They're, oh my gosh, I hadn't heard that, and I just heard you talking about Kissinger.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, all these luminaries.
Two absolute icons passing the scene like this. And she was 93 years old, and as you well know, she was appointed by Ronald Reagan. And I did think she was the first female justice. I said to Ed, I wasn't positive, but it seemed to me she was the first one. Mm-hmm. So she was a real trailblazer. She was conservative, right. Generally stayed on that side. But I think there were times when, if I remember right, Sandra Day O'Connor could be moderate in certain things.
Yeah. Wow.
Indeed. So anyway, I just thought if you had a thought on her. But yeah, it's sad to hear. Sad to hear. At the age of 93, I don't know what the cause was, but, you know, at 93, it could be anything, of course. So, getting to these this new report from CEI, and this really stuck out. The growing cost of federal regulations, according to the report, tallies around almost $2 trillion annually. That is unbelievable.
Well, Paul, I'm sure it's a lot more than that, but what I have assembled here, and things are really seem to be expanding in the Biden administration. You know, I have a placeholder of $2 trillion for the cost of regulation. If you break that down, you're looking at around over $14,000 per household United States to bring it down to the personal level, and that's bigger than any expense in the household budget apart from housing. So it's a tremendous amount for regulatory costs. Often it's hard to articulate that and get that message across, but I think it matters a lot, and it's good to have the context, because we have a federal government now that is spending $6 trillion a year. The deficit alone is $2 trillion, which used to be the entire federal budget back in the days of Sandra Day O'Connor. It was bigger. It's bigger than that. But and then the debt is $33 trillion, pushing $34 trillion. But you can look all of that up. We may fight about government spending, but you can at least look it up and see how much it is. Regulation is very, very different, which is why I initially started putting together the 10,000 Commandments report. I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to just be able to look up the numbers of the cost, numbers of rules, pages in the Federal Register, which, by the way, today the Federal Register for 2023 just crossed 84,000 pages
for the year.
So when it goes up a little bit more in December, Biden is going to be number two behind Obama. So we're watching for that to happen, too. So we got to keep an eye on this stuff.
There's absolutely nobody that has read all of those regulation pages.
Nope.
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody, nobody knows. Nobody
knows.
You've
got to write the rules so you can find out what's in them.
So, exactly. Right? Yeah, I think I heard something like that before. Nobody knows what's going on. And, you know, we laugh about it. But like you say, if it's $11,000 per household, this is unbelievable. Is there anybody? Now, by the way, I want to salute you, because you have this 10,000 Commandments snapshot of federal regulatory state. This is something you do on a regular basis, so you really know all about what is going on. It must be very disheartening for somebody like you to see this and realize what waste we have, and how the government just thumbs its nose at trying to be efficient.
Unfortunately, we know what spending is, but regulation is even less disciplined. And this stuff cuts across the board. You're talking about economic regulation, financial regulation, environmental, health and safety. And Paul, I think the thing that concerns me most now, I'll still end this on an optimistic note, but the thing that concerns me right now is that COVID was the third, not the first, economic shock of the 21st century. And the response, as you saw, was massive, massive legislative interventions and accompanying spending of hundreds of billions of dollars. You had the CARES Act, the American Rescue Plan, the Inflation Act, the Infrastructure Act, the CHIPS and Science Act, all of that costing hundreds of billions. I think, and I'm predicting, and I'm starting to see, that you're also going to see tremendous regulatory fallout from that. It's starting to creep up. It's not a trend yet, but I'm sure it's going to become one. But it appears to be creeping up. I just mentioned those household costs, but it appears to also be creeping up in terms of small business regulation and regulation at the state and local level. On the bright side, if there can be one, is the last time we got major regulatory reforms in the United States, like small business regulatory relief, unfunded mandates act, now it's very controversial, but the Congressional Review Act that let Congress propose a veto of major regulations. The last time that happened, it was overwhelmingly bipartisan, and it was only because you had governors and small businesses swarming to Washington and getting it done. I think that's going to happen again. So while the numbers I'm showing it's extremely concerning, and I think they're going to increase, I think they are percolating down to the level at which they can't be ignored anymore, and that we should see some responses. And on the bright side, I mean, we're not there now, but on the bright side, the core ideas for dealing with all this overregulation and overreach, such as a regulatory cost budget or a regulatory reduction commission or sunsetting, guess what? Those ideas are bipartisan in pedigree. Now, I'm talking about bipartisanship, you know, back in the Sandra Day O'Connor, Jimmy Carter, Lloyd Benson era, when those folks on the Democratic side literally came up with the idea of a regulatory budget. That was in Carter's Economic Report of the President. So they're not, you know, radical GOP ideas or anything like that. When the reckoning comes, I think, there'll be some bipartisanship, although we're nowhere near that.
Gee, I hope you're right about right that. Now. I hope you're right about that. We're talking with Wayne Cruz. He is the Fred Smith Fellow in Regulatory Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he puts out every year 10,000 commandments, this year showing how regulations are getting much, much worse. You mentioned, Wayne, of putting Congress back in charge, which, of course, is what we have to do. And your report urges the Congress to begin laying the groundwork now for some specific reforms. Maybe you could talk about some of those.
Yeah, I think we have the problem of over-delegation. That's the root of a lot of what's going on. I call this the unconstitutionality index, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but every year Congress passes, you know, a few dozen laws. There may be years where it passes 300, say. But, you know, a lot of those are naming post offices and things of that sort. But while the Congress is passing a few dozen laws that the president signs, the agencies are pumping out over 3,000 rules and regulations. Biden's just about to cross the 3,000 number right now, as of today. He's not there yet, but he's almost there. So you've got a multiple, depending on the year and how the numerator and denominator shifts, but you've got a multiple of some 10 to 15 rules and regulations for every law that Congress passes. So that's one of the things. Congress is delegating so much power to agencies to write rules, but they're not only writing the rules, they're also using guidance documents and notices and circulars and bulletins and all these things that aren't even written down as formal notice and comment regulations. That becomes more of a problem in the wake of all the spending like we've done in the past few years, where Biden and the Congress are having the federal government partner with the private sector on all these green energy projects and infrastructure projects and broadband rollout and all these sorts of things, where we're going to be getting regulation and government steering without them even writing rules.
Right.
So we got a big issue.
Yeah. I mean, agencies and then executive orders by the president. Has Congress abandoned its responsibility on this?
I think yes. The executive order situation is such. Remember, Obama said, "I have a pen, I have a phone. If Congress doesn't act, I'm going to act." Biden has done the same thing, but he's taken it to a new level. Just this past week, and I was surprised at how little media coverage it got because it was really significant. His announcement with big tech companies on artificial intelligence got a lot of coverage. But just this past week, he announced this new White House Committee on Supply Chain Resilience. And this is this is sweeping stuff involving the DOD, the Department of Energy, the Department of Health and Human Services, USDA. It's the federal government doing everything under the sun, issuing reports and bulletins and mapping supply chains. It's heavy government involvement, in the most critical things of all, which is our supply chains during emergencies.
Oh, God spare us.
Got very little attention. But it's what I mean, Paul, is it's the kind of thing where the federal government is doing so many things now. It's involved in so many things that some of the main private sector actors can't move or act without this federal government imprint. And I thought the AI issue smacked that. The infrastructure law certainly smacked that because of all of the new handouts and subsidies that are going to companies because of that have numerous strings attached. And now that's happening again with this new supply chain initiative, in my view. I'm going to put together a little write-up on that, kind of exploring it. But it's like everything, the regulation is getting baked in a way that to me is something new.
And yet you say there is reason for hope. The idea being that the Congress is going to kind of try to, take back some of its responsibility? What are they going to...
There are positive developments at the court level, you know, with respect to an agency can't make a major change if it has significant economic effects. There's also the notion of whether there's also new explorations of how much power Congress can legitimately delegate to an agency and how much power they can assume. That's all positive. I do think that there is going to be more recognition at the state and local level that the federal government is taking on way too much, and there needs to be more of a restoration of sovereignty at that level. But I do think I take heart in some things like occurred this year. You know, I mentioned to you regulatory guidance documents that we've taken to calling regulatory dark matter, kind of as a joke. But earlier this year, there was a vote in the House Oversight Committee with respect to agencies being required to report their guidance documents on a portal online called the GOOD Act, Guidance Out of Darkness Act. And believe it or not, that was reported out of the committee 41-0, unanimous with Republican and Democratic support. So there is some, despite Biden being the Edward Scissorhands of transparency, there is some bipartisan support for disclosure. And I think that and the fact that you can only press down so long will lead to some reforms in the near future. But we're trying to map it out as best we can. And, you know, I don't want to be writing 10,000 commandments. I want that to be an official report that comes out of the government so you can look this stuff up just like you look up the debt and the deficit. I'm headed.
I'm writing this down. I love this one. Biden is the Edward Scissorhands of transparency. I don't know where you came up with it, Wayne. I'll credit you with that one. That's a goodie.
he eliminated the Trump executive orders that were providing all the disclosures on regulations. You might recall that Trump was doing one in, two out, you know, for regulation.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is another bipartisan idea. That's been done overseas. It's been done in Canada. It's been done in Great Britain. The idea in the U.S. has been bipartisan. But once Trump did it, of course, it became horrible.
Yes.
but that was eliminated by Biden. And Trump had initiated the guidance document portal that I'd mentioned to you, and Biden eliminated that, too. So those kinds of disclosures that are important. Oh, also the deregulatory classification for rules that had come up. You know, you almost never hear of a rule being deregulatory, you know.
Yeah.
But Trump had a deregulatory classification that was reported on the official OMB databases, and guess what? It vanished.
Wow.
So that's what I mean by the Edward Scissorhands.
Well, it's a goodie. Wayne Cruz, it is always a delight. Keep up your good work. I'm so glad that you're on this thing. It's so important, and I look forward to our next chat.
Thank you so much, Paul. Great talking with you guys. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Wayne. The same to you, buddy. All right. Wayne Cruz, we're going to take our break. When we come back, going to talk more about that debate between Gavin Newsom's and DeSantis, and House Republicans set to get behind closed doors and talk about whether or not to formally vote on a Biden impeachment probe.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's Friday and it's December the 1st. Wow. All right. So I don't know if you heard this. Did you hear that Senator Rand Paul had to do the Heimlich maneuver on Senator Joni Ernst?
No.
Yes, indeed. Yesterday, Rand Paul was at this luncheon that Joni Ernst was apparently hosting. They have a Thursday luncheon, and apparently they rotate the hosts on this thing for GOP senators. And she was eating something or other, and she started choking on it. Mm-hmm. So Rand Paul, being a doctor, by the way, mm-hmm. performed the Heimlich maneuver on her. She had a kind of a good sense of humor about it. She said, after everything was over with, and she said, "Can't help but choke on the woke policies Democrats are forcing down our throats."
Oh,
I thought that was kind of funny. So Paul, who's a doctor, and Ernst, they addressed the lunch after the incident. There was a discussion about how to notice that somebody is choking, and that senators can get training to perform the Heimlich in the Capitol. Lindsey Graham, who's no friend, by the way, of Rand Paul, he said, "God bless Rand Paul. I never thought I would say that." So there you go. Well, we've got our buddy, the Master Barber, with us, waiting patiently, and there's a lot going on, but I've got to get right to that debate last night between our buddy Ron DeSantis and Governor Gavin Newsom of California. Andrew, were you able to stay up and watch that?
Yes, I did, Paul.
So let's hear your, what's your 1 minute, conclusion?
Ron, I believe, tore up Newsom. As far as facts and whatever, you know, Newsom had his smile, and you thought it was great that Newsom went in there. And he had to have guts because they chewed him up and spit him out. Hannity was holding back. You know, he wanted to tear him up.
I think so.
But, you know, the facts were the facts. Ron did destroy him.
I thought he was great. I thought Ron DeSantis,
however,
and I thought he would, by the way. Go ahead.
However, Trump still won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, were you watching Fox News this morning by chance?
No. Tell us.
Okay, well, Fox News this morning, they had a restaurant in Georgia. You know how they always go there and see what the people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people there all said, "Hey, Ron DeSantis did a great job." They all didn't like Newsom. He couldn't answer a question. He didn't. He diverted everything he could. And anyway, at the end, they asked, "Okay, how many in here are going to vote for Nikki Haley?" One person raised their hand. There were a couple hundred people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, "How many are going to vote for Ron DeSantis?" Three or four people raised their hand. "How many people are going to vote for Donald Trump?" The building shook.
Wow.
Okay, the building shook.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no
so
question.
So and I've heard this from some others, the post-debate comment that, you know, yeah, Ron looked fine, and he's good, he's prepared, and he really tore Newsom apart, but it's not going to change anything.
Well, Newsom took his digs, too. I mean, he came at DeSantis, and he said, what was it, something, why don't you just move over and let Nikki Haley run against Trump or something like that.
Yeah, he did take some shots.
At that point, I would have came back with, which one of us was recalled by our own state?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty sad, because if a governor has to be recalled by the people in your own state don't trust you, the hell would this country do in trusting you?
Well, Ron really took it when he pulled out the poop map.
Yes. Yeah, it completely covered the sheet, by the way. Yeah, did you notice that?
Just kind of saved that for the last goodbye.
My goodness. I mean, knowing...
That was the mic drop.
I just didn't see how Newsom had anything. I think he walked in there. I mean, he had nothing. He had to start personal attacks immediately because he had nothing. The statistics were all... And of course,
what Ron did. Look what Rand did when he talked about, I met a man in Florida who was telling me how California sucks, and then he goes, by the way, it was your father-in-law.
I know.
Did you see how... That's
your father-in-law moves from California. That's bad news.
Let me tell you something. If Newsom wasn't Nancy Pelosi's nephew, he'd be flipping burgers at McDonald's for $15.
You know, I forgot about that. So
he's useless as can be.
So is Nancy Pelosi's one of Nancy's brothers or sisters? Is the father or mother of Gavin? Okay,
you got it.
Oh wow! No wonder he's in.
Of course, he didn't make it on brilliance. Let's be real.
You see how
guy doesn't have. He's about a 10-watt bulb if you put it there.
Did you see how irritated he got, Newsom, when DeSantis said Kamala's name wrong?
Yeah,
it's Kamala.
Wow,
Kamala. Like he was dating her.
Well, I mean, if he has to get and spend time on that, you know that he hasn't got anything in the tank.
Listen, any guy that sits there for 30 seconds and praises Harris and Biden, there's something.
I know.
They should have called Dr. Phil right in
how
on that one.
How many people shut it off right there?
Yep.
I give him an A. A for ass.
What did you think about DeSantis mentioning that Newsom is really running a shadow presidential campaign?
I mean, he was on the money.
I think he was, too. I don't see why Gavin Newsom would do this.
But you
unless
know,
that, he said, had an agenda.
But, you know, they said the same thing about Ron a while back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before he announced he was running for president.
Mm-hmm. Right, because how many times did Ron DeSantis say, I'm focusing on gun?
Oh, yeah. No, it's the same deal. It's the same. But at least DeSantis has announced he is running. I mean, this guy is running around in the background waiting for Biden to keel over or for something bad.
He is. Waiting for Obama to give him the green light to run.
Okay.
That's what he's doing.
You know what's still sad is you look at Ron DeSantis, and I'm going to say the kid is great. There's no question in my mind about it. And what a sad day it is, because if Ron and Trump would get together, this country would be outstanding. Instead, we got two pig heads.
Yeah, they're button
heads.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know. Pig heads, and if they weren't two pig heads, it'd be brilliant.
On another topic, Andrew, I wanted to get this in front of you. House Republicans are huddling behind closed doors this morning. They're discussing whether or not to hold a vote formalizing an impeachment inquiry into Biden. And I don't mean Hunter. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, first of all, we're talking about an impeachment inquiry with Biden. But I'm concerned today about the representative they're voting on and expelling there. What's his name again?
DeSantos or something?
Santos.
Yes, Santos.
I mean, not for nothing.
New York.
The Republicans are going after one of their own elected officials that the people put in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But yet, they let Mayorkas, 8 Republicans, let him slide on getting rid of him. The guy that needed to get rid of. Okay. They shouldn't even let the people vote on this guy when it comes up next election. Let him do his job that he was voted for.
Who are you talking about? Mayorkas or Santos?
No, Santos.
Oh, I can get him out now. Get him out now. He lied to get in. Why give him the satisfaction of carrying out a term?
Well, I mean,
if it was a business, he would be fired.
How many of them lied to get in?
It doesn't matter. You got to start somewhere. You got to make. No, I'm serious.
Then they should start with Mayorkas.
But this is plain as the nose on your face that this guy lied.
Here's the one thing. He hasn't been found guilty. He has not been convicted.
He's admitted, though. But he's admitted he
has, but they haven't formally convicted him. And if you go after somebody, and I'm not a Santos fan. The guy sounds like he's a chronic liar.
Right, I agree.
There's something wrong with him. I think there's something wrong with him. But and they don't have a recall function. Did you know that?
No.
This guy, by the way, Ed, he comes from where you grew up. In the Long Island area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but they don't have a recall mechanism. So do you think that they ought to just leave him in until the next election? He's not probably going to run anyway.
Actually, he fits the situation. He's a professional liar.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them that are in there are professional liars anyway.
I think that's the case.
But still, he still did lie to get in, and he was creepy about it.
He's creepy.
To me, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction.
It sounds to me like the vote is going to go against him. What do you think, Andrew? Do you think the vote? Forget about your personal opinion.
You know, if I had to go by one of them lying, they're going to get rid of all of them because they all lie.
That's true.
Every freaking one of them lies.
They do.
And they lie to get in. They lie while they're in, and they lie while they're out. It's a politician.
What do you think about whether or not Hunter Biden should get his wish granted that the only way he will testify before that oversight committee is publicly?
Well, you know, an oversight committee is strange because the Republicans will have 5 minutes to question him, and then the Democrats will have 5 minutes to tell him how the Republicans were wrong. You're not accomplishing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not accomplishing a thing. They need to put him in front of a court under oath and let him speak.
Well, at least in private. The questioning is different, and they got a lot more than 5 minutes to really dig down into the topic, and that's why the House Oversight Committee Chairman Comer says, let's do this behind closed doors thing first, and then we guarantee you we'll allow you a public testimony as well.
Well, let's hope it works.
Yeah,
that's all I can say because it doesn't seem like anything else is working, does it?
No.
I mean, they're letting the Bidens get away with everything. Joe's going to let it. They're going to let this go another year before. Let's impeach him 2 days before he's over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. It's a total waste of money.
Finally, I think I want to get your thought. Three icons have passed away within the past few days. Henry Kissinger, Rosalind Carter, and then this morning, Sandra Day O'Connor died at the age of 93. Go ahead.
Well, I wish I could live to be 93 and 100.
Yeah,
be real.
They've had long lives.
I mean, you know, their lives, they did what they did in the past. Yeah. Henry Kissinger did some good. Henry Kissinger did a lot of no good, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
He's in between the fence. Jimmy Carter's, Rosalind Carter, she was just always a sweetheart. Let's be real about that.
Yeah, she was 93.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Carters, you could talk all you want. He was a crappy president, but they were both probably the most beautiful people in the world.
They were, and I'll never forget all the work they did with Habitat for Humanity. Mm-hmm. They walked the walk, and that's the one thing about him I always respected.
Yeah. Now, the judge I know nothing about, but at 93, God bless
her. She was 93, and she was the first female judge, and she was appointed by Ronald Reagan.
No, that's fantastic. She led a good life, had great opportunities.
Yeah.
But it's time to move on.
Right.
Now,
that's true.
If things were to happen to Joe Biden and a few other people, well,
I don't think he's going to make 100. I don't think he's going to make 93.
I don't think he's going to make the end of the year.
He might not make it to the end of the year. You're right about that.
You know, one more fall and Newsom is in. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fall with Biden and Newsom is in.
He's not.
He can't get in right away. If poor old Joe doesn't last his term, guess who's filling in for the remainder of his term?
I know, but they're going to pull something. They're going to pull something to get. They're going to offer her a better job, mm-hmm. where she can get paid good and do a lot less. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real.
Well, they got to figure something out.
Because I'm going to tell you this. Because it doesn't matter. They put Newsom in there. The blacks are going to be very upset. What is this? We had a black woman next in line as vice president. All of a sudden, who's this white guy jumping in?
Yeah.
Why has he got it and not her?
Yeah, I think you may be right. There are going to be a lot of people that will be upset about it.
That's right.
No matter how bad she is.
That's right. It's just a principle again, Paul.
I agree with you.
It's principle. It doesn't matter who, what, when, or where.
Indeed. You're right.
And they keep setting these nasty presidents, but you know what? We haven't heard nothing about Trump, but I can tell you the people that are silent are speaking about him all over the place.
Where is he these days?
He's been awfully quiet.
He's in the courtroom.
Yeah, in and out. You're right about
he's
that.
He's in the courtroom. But I'm quite sure, you know, like I said, they can have all the debates they want. Trump won. I mean, the only way they are going to stop Trump, the only way, it's not the courts, they're going to have to kill him.
And by the way, how many women did Trump rape?
It depends on who you talk to.
I heard that yesterday morning, and I'm still scratching my head trying to find those women.
I mean, they just throw anything against them.
I put a bolo out for them and be on the lookout, and they haven't answered my emails.
I know.
I'm looking all over for them.
No specifics needed.
Yeah.
Right. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
You got it, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Same to you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you, what are the 10 fastest cars in the world?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, just a little bit of additional information. I found that story on Sandra Day O'Connor. She died in Phoenix this morning of complications related to advanced dementia, probably Alzheimer's, and she also had a respiratory illness.
Still in office, was she?
Oh, no. She's long retired.
Cause of death, you just put in the box 93.
Yeah. Old age. That's about it. So, before we get to our top 10, real quickly, I was watching the Lightning last night. They were playing the Pittsburgh Penguins at home. And did you see that one of the most rare things ever in a game, the goalie for Pittsburgh scored a goal? Did you know that?
I saw that once before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually flipped the puck all the way down the ice, and the Lightning were down at that time. I think it was 3-2, and so they had an extra man advantage. And anyway, he flips it all the way down, and it goes in.
That's when it usually happens.
And so that was quite interesting. 4-2, the Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Lightning. Kind of a interesting development. All right, my friend. Before we get into our top 10, you said you want to talk about GMC.
Well, one thing that happened last week we didn't get a chance to mention because we all love electronic vehicles. GMC, for the first time, will not buy an ad in the Super Bowl this year.
Why not?
Because they're doing so poorly that they can't afford it, basically.
Is that right?
The EVs have set them back. They can't sell them. And they do sell them. They're not making a profit off of them. So,
wow.
Yeah, GMC for the first time will not spend that money on a Super Bowl ad this year.
Will Ford be running any ads, do you think?
Well, Ford is still hanging in there, but you talk to any, go to a car salesman and just talk to them about EVs, and they're just like, ugh.
Oh, God. Yeah, they hate them. Yeah.
You know.
Well, that leads us to our top 10, and it's the top 10 fastest cars in the world. This comes from Car Wow, and it's right up to date, because this report comes out, it came out November the 20th of this year, okay? So without further ado, here we go. The top 10 fastest cars in the world, number 10. By the way, this gets an asterisk on it, and here's the reason why. It's the Koenigsegg Jesko Absolute. Have you ever heard of it? That's number one.
Asterisk, what, it was on steroids?
Koenigsegg Jesko Absolute, yeah. It's got a hypothetical speed because they haven't actually tested the top speed in real life, but they did it under simulation. So this speed is not, you can't guarantee it. Mm. They say the top speed would be 310 miles per hour, and they would go 0-60 in 2.5 seconds.
Wow.
I mean, think about being thrust in the, if you're sitting in that car going to 60 in 2.5 seconds.
At least one G-force going through.
Yeah, exactly. Number nine. The Lamborghini Aventador SVJ.
Lamborghini.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lamborghini. You're right. Lamborghini. Top speed, 217 miles per hour. 0-60 in 2.5 seconds. Number eight. The Pagani Huayra. It's spelled H-U-A-Y-R-A. Huayra. 238 miles an hour. 0-60 in 3.2 seconds. Number seven. Hey, this reminds me of James Bond. The Aston Martin Valkyrie. 250 miles an hour in 2.2 seconds. It goes from 0-60. That's quick. Wow. Number six. Hey, it's another Koenigsegg. Koenigsegg Regera, or Regera, R-E-G-E-R-A. Top speed, 250. 0-60, 2.8 seconds. Number five, I love this name. I'd buy the car just for the name, the McLaren Speedtail. 250 miles an hour, 0-60, 2.5 seconds. Number four, the Rimac, R-I-M-A-C, is that right? Rimac Navara, 258 miles an hour. Listen to this, 1.9 seconds to go to 60.
Wow.
1.9? You just get the car and you're barely sitting there and you're at 60 miles an hour. Number three, the Hennessy Venom F5. That's another one. I love that one. Mm. The Venom, 272 miles an hour, 0-60, 2.6 seconds.
What the size of these cars are?
Well, they got to be low. They got to be. It's almost like getting into a race car in Indy.
Obviously, a cockpit I'll never fit into.
I'll tell you what, it's got to be. I did see pictures of these cars. They look pretty impressive, I must say. God, they got to be expensive. Mm. Number two, the SSC Tuatara. T-U-A-T-A-R-A. Tuatara. I don't know how you pronounce it, but I got to be careful here. Anyway, the top speed, 295.
Wow.
0-60, 2.5 seconds. And number one, the Bugatti Chiron Supersport 300 Plus.
These are all, I mean,
nobody owns them.
I'm going to say, there's no, you know, I was waiting for Porsche or something like that, nothing like that.
Top speed, 304 miles an hour. Wow. 0-60, 2.2 seconds.
Going across the Bayside Bridge.
I don't think so. All right, there you go. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, be careful out there, drive carefully, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM